I'm Joelle Lester with the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium, and I just want to thank Cynthia for putting together this panel and giving me an opportunity to participate today. I have no disclosures to share with you. Some of you may be aware, but I just want to let you know that the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium is a national legal network. We are a group of attorneys in St. Paul, Minnesota, and we provide legal technical assistance to public health professionals and advocates around the country. And we are affiliated with a national network of similar legal centers. These are the groups, and many of these legal centers are represented here today. If you have a legal center in your state, they are a great resource for you as you look to develop and implement effective tobacco control policies. But if you don't have one in your state, never fear, you can contact us at the consortium and we will help find legal support to assist you in your efforts. So I just want to briefly put the discussion of menthol in the context of the Tobacco Control Act. We have a FDA tobacco project which is focused on helping public health folks around the country engage with the FDA to support and encourage the FDA to enact the boldest possible regulations of tobacco products. And so I'll talk a little bit about the federal piece and then talk about the role you can all play in making this happen. So the Tobacco Control Act opens the door for the FDA to do a lot more than just what's explicitly required in the act. And as Valerie mentioned, the act does prohibit most fruit and candy characterizing flavors in cigarettes, but it specifically exempted menthol and then tobacco as a flavor. But the FDA has the authority under the act to regulate menthol, and the Tobacco Control Act directed the Tobacco Products Scientific Advisory Committee, or TPSAC, to study the issue of menthol in cigarettes and then to report to the FDA. And this is the charge from the statute. So in addition to considering the larger issue of menthol cigarettes in public health, it specifically wanted TPSAC to consider the use by children, African Americans, Hispanics, and other minority communities. And the FDA's regulation of tobacco products is measured against the public health standard, which was created by the Tobacco Control Act so that the FDA can take action that is appropriate for the protection of public health. And this is an important and new standard because the traditional standard that the FDA uses in regulation of other kinds of products is safe and effective. And of course, that does not translate well to tobacco products. And so Congress established this new public health standard. The other thing I would say about this is that it's not about the effect on the individual user alone, that it's the effect on our larger communities. So TPSAC did this huge report concluding a whole bunch of important things, finding that children are smoking menthol. Menthol cigarettes are disproportionately used by communities of color, especially African Americans. And this last statistic is also from TPSAC's report forecasting how many fewer smokers would start smoking if menthol cigarettes were removed from the marketplace. And as you can see, it's really quite significant. By 2015, there would be 9 million fewer smokers in the United States, according to that model. So this was all very encouraging, and the TPSAC report was finalized in July of 2011, concluding that removal of menthol cigarettes from the marketplace would benefit public health, which is great since that's a standard that FDA has to use. And then instead of proposing a regulation right then, the FDA announced that it would conduct additional review of the science. And there was some hope or optimism that that review would be concluded in the same year, and then nothing happened for a while. And so public health folks were really concerned that the FDA had the evidence but wasn't taking the action. And so a group of 18 public health organizations and Valerie Yerger as an individual put together a citizen petition calling on the FDA to prohibit menthol as a characterizing flavor in cigarettes. And I would just point out the characterizing flavor in cigarettes, that's from the statute. And that's not the only problem with these additives. So the characterizing flavor isn't defined in the statute, so all these things that are prohibited could still be added at lower levels. But for the ease of just adding menthol to the other flavors that are used, we asked the FDA to take this particular action. And just to briefly explain, a citizen petition is a formal process to call on a federal agency to take an action. It's really outlined in regulation how you need to do it, and so we submitted this basically brief with a lot of evidence, including evidence that had been published since the TPSAC report, and as Valerie said, even more evidence has continued to be published since we filed the citizen petition. And here it is, with of many illustrious organizations represented, and I have some hard copies up here at the front if you're interested. So it's a really nice compilation of the evidence on menthol and the authority that the FDA has to take action now. And when we first decided to do this session here, we thought that this was sort of the end of the action on menthol, but I'm happy to tell you more has happened since we filed the abstract. So you'll see we filed this on April 12th of this year, and right before we filed it, there was a change in leadership at the FDA Center for Tobacco Products. So Mitch Zeller took over as director, and we had the opportunity to present the petition to Mr. Zeller. And excitingly, not too long after the citizen petition was filed, the Center for Tobacco Products issued what's called an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, which is something that could lead to a proposed regulation. It doesn't have to, but the FDA is using this tool to both publish the scientific review of the evidence that the FDA had conducted over that period of a couple of years, and then also to publish a list of very specific questions that about menthol and the impact of menthol on public health that the FDA would like to see more information on. And this is really an opportunity, a little bit of insight into what the FDA is thinking and what the FDA needs to take meaningful action on menthol. So I know there is a lot of frustration on the ground with the slow pace of activity at the FDA. And I would just encourage you to think about what you can do, what evidence you have in your community to give to the FDA, to support the FDA in taking bold action as soon as possible on menthol. The third piece that's really important about the ANPRM is that it opens a docket for additional public comment. And this docket would be part of the official record if the FDA were to propose actual regulation removing menthol cigarettes from the marketplace. So that's important given the constraints of how the FDA has to operate. So this is an important tool. So I just want to talk a little bit about how you comment on the ANPRM docket or any open docket that's at the FDA. And then I'll talk a little bit about what kinds of information you all have that would be helpful in supporting and pushing the FDA to take big action. So this is the Public Health Law Center website where I work, publichealthlawcenter.org, and we have a Tobacco Action Center. So sort of a one-stop shop for what the FDA Center for Tobacco Products is up to and how you can be involved. And you'll see that the first item under the Take Action Today is to press the FDA to take action on menthol, and this links you to the docket where you can submit your comments and information on menthol in cigarettes or other tobacco products. So before, the arrow points to the button you would press to actually submit your comment, which is obviously important, but I also just want to point out a couple of numbers on the screen. Over in the right box, you'll see 110,677 comments. That's a lot of comments for a docket that's actually not about a proposed regulation. And then it's very hard to read. I'm sorry, but it took us a while to even notice it. Over in the left, there's a sentence that says, as of October 21st, 2013, received 197,913 total comments, which includes four write-in campaigns. So I just want to point these out and to tell you, although I'm not sure who all those comments are from, because most of the comments are not publicly available yet, hopefully they will be eventually, I don't think they're all from public health folks. I think that the write-in there, I hope that there's lots of substantive, meaningful data from your communities that is going to help the FDA take action, but I think those write-in campaigns are Lorillard's and maybe other tobacco companies. But I know Lorillard's doing them because we've seen Lorillard's call for comments and suggested talking points. So I think a lot of the comments here are not going to support and encourage the FDA to take meaningful action that benefits public health. I think they're calling on the FDA to not take away their menthol cigarettes. So I just want to put that out there because I think sometimes people aren't sure how useful or important your contribution is to this process, and I think it's very useful and it's very important, and without it, there's only one group at this table. So there, that's my little spiel, but Now, if you did click on the button the arrow was pointed to, you would get to this screen. It's really straightforward. The box there, you can just type in a brief comment if you wanted to. Below that, there's a button to upload a file if you have a study or a paper or a more formal letter you wanted to submit. And then you just enter in a little bit of information and you click submit. So just to give you a little sense of how you could do this, this is a comment that Professor Lawrence Carter submitted on the, this is actually submitted on our citizen petition on menthol, and he just wrote a brief comment, and then he uploaded an article that he had published that's relevant to the issue of menthol in cigarettes. So I think that is a good example of something you could do if you already have research on this topic. And then here is a letter from the state health commissioner in Minnesota to the Center for Tobacco Products related to menthol and cigarettes also. So he decided to do a more formal letter and discuss a little bit of the health impact in the state of Minnesota. So those are two good examples. When you're thinking about what kind of information to include in the comments that you submit to the FDA, one helpful thing is that with this particular docket, with the menthol ANPRM docket, the FDA did give this list of questions. It is available from the same docket page on their website or from our website as well. But I think I would just encourage you to really carefully look and see if you have information that speaks directly to one of those questions, because the FDA is telling us that it needs more information in these areas, and so we want to be responsive. And as I mentioned earlier, it is important that this docket would be part of the official record. When the tobacco companies sue the FDA for proposing a regulation or adopting a regulation like they did with the graphic warning labels, the FDA, when the court is looking at it, the FDA has to be able to show that it relied upon evidence, that there was a support for its decision. But it can't say any evidence that was out in the world. It has to be part of the official record. And so if you have information you think is useful, just because you've published it somewhere, or I don't know what else you might have done with it, but it doesn't mean the FDA has it. In the public record is not the same as the FDA's official record. So I would just, if you have any doubt at all, I would just urge you to go ahead and make sure it gets into the FDA's record and that the FDA has all of this good information that you have worked on and spent so much time on in their record to support their decision making. We talk a lot to staff at the FDA Center for Tobacco Products about what would be useful and how local folks can engage with the FDA. And so I think that based on those conversations, I think what would be helpful to them is if you have survey data or other research about prevalence and use in your community of menthol cigarettes or other tobacco products, that would be helpful to the FDA. If you have published articles, again, please go ahead and submit those. It's helpful if you explain your credentials, your expertise in that area as well, and the relevance of your article and your research to the issue of menthol in tobacco products. I include this one because Solano County and the state of California did such an amazing job. They had a lot of local data in their communities, and they had their different school boards or boards of health or city councils pass resolutions that included that local data, and the resolutions were calling on the FDA to take action on menthol, which was, I thought, was a really nice way of getting both the data and the sort of public support from that community to the FDA. And then just your other observations about the impact of menthol tobacco products on public health. All of this could be helpful as the FDA builds the evidence base and considers what kind of action to take on menthol. I want to just put out a pitch also that we are available as a resource to help you if you want to engage in this process and you're not sure. Not only are my colleague Mike Freiberg and I down at booth 838 with a laptop and we could just sit with you and help you do your comment today, but we're also available if you contact us about the comment that you're considering submitting or how to do it. We'd be really happy to help. We're also happy, I just want to also mention e-cigarettes, even though I'm not slated to talk about that today, but at the Tobacco Control Legal Consortium, we also have a citizen petition calling on the FDA to assert jurisdiction over other tobacco products, which includes e-cigarettes. Unfortunately, it's not yet available for public comments, but that is another way that we are trying to create an opportunity for local and state public health officials and advocates to engage with the FDA and to submit the data you have in your community, the activities you're doing in your community, to the FDA to make sure that they have the best possible evidence base as they make their decisions on tobacco control regulation. So, thank you so much.